Cultivated Being Podcast.
Hey everyone, it's party time here with Jake and Nick, the two doctor brothers, the wellness brothers, who bring consistently week after week the hot and spicy health hacks that everyone's hoping for. We're here again having our conversation.
So spicy.
Jake, what's up, man? How are you doing? What's on your mind?
Nick, so good to see you through my computer screen. Mm-hmm. I love it. I look forward to this every week. And here we are.
Another podcast. It's the time that we do this.
The Cultivated Being. Yeah, man. It's Friday afternoon when we're recording this. And I feel good. I feel alive.
Excellent.
You look well. What's going on with you, Nick?
Well, I had a good week. My wife goes back to teaching tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but as of this podcast airing, she goes back to, work today. So this week has been like our last week of summer kind of a thing. And it's been fun. Mm-hmm. It's been very summery. Shark Week has been playing. We've been in the ocean a bunch. I'm going to cook actually tonight. I have some people coming over. I'm going to cook everything I can over an open fire pit. Northern California is cool enough in the evening that you want to do that. That sounds like a good summer night.
You're not cooking any shark meat for Shark Week?
I think in my parts of the world, they would kill me for that. It's okay.
That's fair. You can cook what sharks eat for Shark Week. That's kind of along the lines theme.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like smaller fish, other animals.
Yeah.
They're kind of non-discriminatory, aren't they? They eat like life preservers.
Well, yeah.
Whatever they can get their teeth on.
I saw something about the Greenland shark, which I didn't know anything about. And if you look at pictures of the Greenland shark, which I would recommend everyone look at because he looks like he's had a really rough life. Doesn't look like a very pretty shark. But partly the reason is that is, I think as far as science has told me, granted I'm not a researcher about every living thing in the world, I think it's the oldest living creature is the Greenland.
Older than like sea turtles?
Yeah.
I mean, oldest is like their origin dates back the furthest.
No, I think
they just live to be the longest.
I don't know if this is just pure speculation, but they've definitely found them over 400 years old.
Yikes.
They looked into what they eat and they eat like trash. They eat whatever.
They don't look pretty. You're right about that. I'm looking it up right now and it is not one of God's most beautiful creatures.
Yeah. Show it up to the screen just in case I ever post this to you, Jim.
Okay. Where's one of the most hideous ones? All right. Well, here's its most like glamorous shot probably. And that doesn't really do much good for you.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
And it doesn't get prettier from that picture.
But how interesting is that, you know?
This one has like weird growth on it.
Oh, yeah.
That is interesting. I mean, there's older like plants, you know, like trees. And there's like clams can live to be 1,000 years old or something. But that's crazy, a 400-year-old shark.
You mentioned how many little things they have to get through. How many like hurdles and obstacles to survival to live that long. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, they've seen some things.
Yeah. You know, people are like, if you get struck by lightning, just chances are you're never going to get struck again. But if you live to like 400 plus years old, it can happen. You're like, I learned from the first time, but it could happen like four more times, you know? It's crazy.
What else did you learn during Shark Week?
Lots of little things. I mean, I don't know what's interesting to people, but.
Okay, you're taking too long.
I like to watch Shark Week just because I want to feel close to the water, and they always have the most beautiful, you know, the videography is insane right now. And the way that they show underwater, you're like, oh man, that looks so nice to swim around.
It's so cool. Yeah, I watched that documentary, Blue Planet. So good.
Yeah.
Nick.
Yes.
Speaking of cooking outside, it's possible to cook outside. I did it on Wednesday. I did it the other night. A friend of mine, house sitting, like this mansion on Palm Beach Island, and went over there, had a pool party, and I was grilling. And it was fun. It wasn't that hot, especially, you know, jump in a pool or whatever. But the next morning, my back was itching pretty good, and I thought I had a couple mosquito bites, and I looked, and it was like 25 mosquito bites on my back. Zero on my front and like 25 on my back.
Because it was too hot.
But I learned something.
The grill or something, or the smoke or something like that.
No, just mosquitoes are becoming more intelligent.
Oh.
They know, like, one lands on my chest, I might see it and kill it, you know?
Interesting.
That's my theory. But what I also learned was that a couple mosquito bites are about as itchy as 25 mosquito bites. Can't really tell the difference. It's about the same.
Nice.
Mom's probably listening and thinking it got like Zika virus or something by
or
now.
Or malaria or something.
I'm probably fine.
You're in the tropics. It could be malaria.
Sure.
What did you fever. Make though? That's
so I made a paella.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So paella is the national dish of Spain. If you're out there listening and you're not familiar, it's a rice-based dish. It's like a rice seafood-based dish, but it's just fun. You throw, it's like a technique basically, and then you could throw in all kinds of stuff.
Because it's kind of like a risotto, but with meats. Like fish.
Yeah. Now, technically, it shouldn't be like a risotto because you should not be using risotto like arborio rice. But these specific short grain Spanish rices aren't that easy to come by. And I wasn't about to make a special run to a store. So I used arborio rice. So mine was actually like seafood based risotto that you cook over fire. So that's the key. Like traditionally, it's a fire-based dish and use a specific pan called a paella pan, which, in case you're wondering, paella means pan in Spanish.
Nice.
So it's a pan.
Nice.
But it is special. It's very thin, unlike other outdoor pans like cast iron, which is thick and holds heat really well. And it's flat. Anyway, it's a cool dish. It's traditional. It's saffron is an important flavor note in it that makes it signature like paella flavor. And yeah, it's just nice like for a party because you paella pans can be really big. So you fill up a whole pan of it and, you know, a lot of people can eat. And then I grilled like a garlic bread, like a pizza dough based bread, but just grilled it.
Nice. That sounds fantastic.
Pretty all right.
Getting hungry. It's lunchtime for me, so that just made me pretty hungry. But
what are you cooking?
Oh, over the fire tonight? I'm going to make like kind of. Well, here's what I'm going to make. So I did this. My nieces are actually my special guests. My nieces and my brother-in-law. My sister-in-law is out of town, so we're having them over. And last time they came over, I made everything over the fire, and they loved it. So they're like, you have to do that. I did not plan on doing that, but they're like, Uncle Nick, you have to make everything over the fire. I was like, oh, crap. It's kind of hard, you know? So this is what I'm making. It's kind of similar to yours, I guess. I wasn't going to make a rice, but now I'm like, man, it sounds pretty good with it. It's going to be kind of like euros or deconstructed euros. You can put it in a bowl if you want, but I'm going to stew some meat that's going to basically taste like euro meat. And I could do that on the fire. And then I'm going to make flatbreads just like you're talking about, just right on the fire there. And then I've been wanting to make this dessert. We have a bunch of strawberries. It's strawberry season here. And so I'm going to make some strawberries with just, you know, in a pan with brown sugar, butter, and salt, and then put pastry puff over the top of it. Put that in the oven for a little bit, flip it over like
on the grill.
Tartine or whatever. How do you say that? Tartine. I can't never say French words.
Just go tartine. But Nick, you got to cook it on the fire.
That would, the first part I'll cook on the fire, but all right, maybe I will. I'll just wrap it with, I'll figure it out. It's going to be not so easy. But then, you know, I'm making, whenever I have my nieces or nephews, I'm cooking for them and their parents aren't really around, I'll make them two desserts.
Well, because Uncle Nick's the best.
Because that's what life's all about as a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we're going to have some s'more stuff with specialty chocolates. So you're going to have like your York peppermint patty s'more or like chocolate caramel, you know, kind of s'mores. It's going to be good.
That is exciting.
And
all right, there's other stuff.
Yeah. I haven't mentioned, but.
Oh,
great. I'm hungry now.
That's pretty good. And Nick, something else I'm thinking about, I'm just keeping this pod moving right along. Cause yeah. We could do a second podcast every week just on
food. And then a third podcast just on movies and TV and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. I rewatched Stranger Than Fiction, that Will Ferrell movie from like a decade ago.
Yeah.
It's a really sweet, it's a clever movie. It's heartfelt. Anyway, it's on Amazon Prime. It's good. Okay.
Well, if we're going throwbacks, I don't know if I should admit this, but I already brought it up. My wife and I rewatched Clueless. It had been, I think, since it came out. Our sisters had it on TV a bunch.
That's totally rewatchable. I watched it like 5 years ago. It was great.
It really holds up. I was so surprised. I was like, there's just no way this movie is going to do well. In my head about, anyway, but it's a really clever movie. It's really awesome. It that was pretty good.
And somehow Paul Rudd hasn't aged at all in 30 years.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's totally worth rewatching. Nick, it's this week. So this podcast airs and I have a show this week in a band that I'm in. So I've been retired from rock and roll music now for, let's just go ahead and say 17 years. No, I kind of played around in some college bands, but that wasn't really, we weren't playing like serious gigs. We're playing like campus stuff. So yeah.
And for those of you who don't know Jake actually played a lot of shows when back in the days in high school, all of your bandmates were in college at the time, I think.
Well, except for our drummer, Eric, he's my age. But yeah, they were older guys.
You guys played a lot of shows, recorded some great music, and...
Yeah, we were good.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we played a ton. And reflecting back, our parents were kind of cooler than maybe I gave them credit for back then, because I was playing like 21 and over shows when I was like 16, 17, and I was out to like midnight or 1 a.m. because some of those shows started pretty late.
Yeah.
Pretty fun.
And you had some great band names too.
We don't have to talk about them.
No.
People don't have to go looking for them. That's for darn sure.
We are going there. The first one, I think, was Free Admission.
Yeah, but okay. It was Free Admission. And we were just like, I was a freshman in high school and it was like, we were playing just high school parties, so it was fine. But then we started playing serious gigs, and anytime you play at a decent venue, it's like they post in the newspaper like their lineup, and it would be like the lineup would go like Nick Hyde's band top billing, Jake Hyde's band second billing, and then it'd be like free admission. So like, clubs did not like that, so they made us change it, and we were gonna change it to free beer, even though we were all kids, just to like extra spite the clubs. But then thought better of it and became Shrinkport, which was a name based off the alter ego of our lead singer when he was like hospitalized for food poisoning. He became this guy named Jeremy Shrinkport. Anyway, thought it was funny. And Shrinkport was a pretty good band name.
I had no idea about that. The backstory.
And then eventually Dream State.
Dream State, which is a great band name.
Yeah. But there is, if you like are looking for Dream State, you could find stuff on any streaming device, but it, or any streaming platform, but there are several artists with that name out there. So if you want to hear a song, look for A Place to Rest My Head, Dream State. That'll point you in the right direction. Okay. So no, but I'm in a, I have a friend of mine that talked me out of retirement, and I'm playing in his band. We're playing like a really big show.
Cool.
This Friday at my favorite like venue in town. So at Respectable. So if you are
give us South, the deets. Yeah, come on.
South Florida person, it's this Friday night, the 9th of August at Respectable Street, downtown West Palm. Opening for my favorite local band called Rivers. The front man of Rivers was a guest we had back, I don't know, over the summer last year or something.
Oh, dang.
And I love his stuff.
It's a very popular show, by the way. A lot of people have listened to that episode. Yeah, great guy. We got to have him on the show again. Maybe next week before the big show.
We'll do an emergency early pod.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get David then, the front man of my band, which is called Perigee, because David's an interesting guy, and I wouldn't just come out of retirement for anybody.
Well, just in case anyone out there just like me is really spelling impaired, how do you spell Perigee?
Well, if you know anything about astral revolutions, you would know what Perigee is, but Perigee is Perigee, and their stuff streamable out there. I think that maybe you should look for an EP called It Was Perfect Except for Everything, and that'll point you to the right Perigee. Anyway, Perigee has to do with like orbits. You know, most orbits aren't circular, they're elliptical. And perigee is the point of the elliptical orbit furthest away from center. Or maybe it's closest. I don't remember. You took an astronomy course.
Yeah, I did.
That is ringing a bell.
With our wonderful sister, Maura, her and I, the only class I ever took with a sibling in my life. Was with Maura. We took astronomy. We thought it was going to be fun. It's a lot of work. It's like we're doing all kinds of math. And I was like, why do we have to do some? I thought we were just going to look at the stars. And like we're quantifying things. I don't remember the orbit stuff, Jake. Sorry.
Okay, kind of a while that's ago. Fine. But that's something I'm actually very excited about. I'm kind of maybe nervous. I've like filled in at like numerous like churches and like worship bands or whatever, but I haven't played like a club gig. Like I said, 17 years probably.
It's going to come right back. I think it sounds like it's going to be a blast. And I've heard some of your music. It sounds like it'd be fun to dance around with and stuff.
Oh yeah, it's going to be fun. It's like 80s electro, new wavy pop stuff. It's fun. A lot of fun. Well, okay. Should we start the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. Since you brought up, actually, you got me thinking about this article I just read yesterday. You're talking about astronomy and stuff like that. Next, actually, this week, maybe the exact night your guys are playing. How about this? There is an asteroid passing by Earth that's the size of the Empire State Building.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it. I was like, well, I knew that this happens, but that seems like a really big asteroid.
Well, if that hit, that would be catastrophic. Yeah.
Yeah. And they said that there's, I forget how many, several hundred asteroids that they know of that are bigger than that one that orbit the sun. So technically, mathematically, at some point we could totally collide with that, because they're orbiting the sun at a different rate than the Earth is. Now, they said that those ones, they've mapped out and they've done all kinds of math with it, their orbits. And as far as they can tell, they're not worried about us hitting any of those. I'm like, okay.
Those are the ones we know about, though.
Exactly. They're like, well, we know about those ones. It does not seem like we'll hit those, but there's lots of other things flying through space that we do not know about. And so every country, I didn't know if you knew this, but China, the US, Russia have all of these plans of what to do if a big thing in space was flying towards us, how to knock it off course so it wouldn't hit us.
Bruce Willis it from Armageddon.
It's totally the plot from Armageddon. Whoever thought that this was real? I didn't know that.
It's so real. What I think was cool, I watched a TEDx talk on YouTube about this very interesting, I don't know, I guess it was a meteor or something, but it was big. It was a bunch bigger than this Empire State Building and like flat and like disc shaped. It was a weird shape flying through space. And what made it so special is because it was not from our solar system. So it was some kind of projected out piece of something that was passing through our solar system. It was the first thing we've ever been able to look at that's not from our solar system. I mean, get a close look of it. And they didn't really know what it was, and they're not really sure what it was made of. But we got to look at it for a little bit. It's already like leaving us. But it was a cool talk, and I'm sorry. That's all the information I have to give.
It's very provocative
information. But it was an interesting shape. It looked like it was probably like the shape of the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars, but much bigger than that. Anyway, something that wasn't from our solar system, in our solar system, which is pretty rare.
Yeah. Well, you want to get really weird with astronomy here. This, I think I've thought about this from my astronomy course a million times because I thought this was so interesting. So something we don't think about is, you know, everyone has metal probably right next to them. Maybe they're listening to this from your phone and there's metal. Your car, if you're driving in your car, is completely made out of metal. Where does the metal come from? Well, where does everything on the periodic table of elements come from? It comes from supernovas. So basically, right, you have a star and it's fusing two atoms and making a new one, right? Mm-hmm. So our star, the one that we know of that we call the sun, is fusing hydrogen and making helium. Pretty cool. So all these molecules are changing, and that's where energy is created, and that's where you get this huge ball of fire. But once it keeps fusing bigger and bigger molecule, bigger and bigger, yeah, until it gets to carbon, which is pretty high. And then I think beyond carbon, all of a sudden, you know, it becomes very unstable and starts fusing everything. And it creates all these different, it creates the whole periodic table of elements. And that time when it starts becoming unstable and actually the whole thing explodes, right? So you get a supernova, which is like a trillion hydrogen bombs. I mean, more than that, like a quintillion or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, way more than a trillion.
You know, all exploding at one time. I don't mean like a trillion in power. I mean like a trillion in size, you know? Anyways, so then you start fusing bigger and bigger elements until you're creating things like uranium. And then it explodes, and as it explodes, it distributes it across the universe. And then we get stuff like uranium on our planet from a supernova.
You're forgetting though, it's not just uranium and those like really heavy metals. Like you said, it's carbon and things like calcium. Like we're made from exploding stars. Like our raw materials come from stars once upon a time. Supernovas.
It's pretty crazy. It is crazy.
It is. And it's fun. It's fun to like deep dive, study and read into this on the internet. It's one of my favorite hobbies.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about this practically, right, I'm holding a phone that has metal. This metal was somewhere else in the universe and it exploded to get here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, before I just dripped off into nowhere thinking about this, let's get into the pod.
Okay. I want to talk about sleep. Now, we've talked about sleep on this podcast a bunch of times, most talking about how to sleep better. But I'm doing some interesting research and looking into, you know, a researcher who says like people are different and biologically suited to sleep different times and biologically suited to be more productive and energetic at certain times of the day. And he's been researching this for a couple of decades and he came down to the conclusion there's basically like four types of people when it comes to circadian rhythm or that biological clock. And I find this to be very fascinating because I feel like a lot of people are like forcing themselves into a certain schedule that maybe society has constructed, but it's a societal construct. It's not natural human schedule to every person on the planet.
Yeah, and this is super fascinating.
I sent this to Nick by email and he did some research because you can take a quiz, which I'm sure Nick will just share that link on the show notes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you can find out more or less like what your type is. And he named these four types after animals that exhibit similar circadian rhythms. And I could go through them. Should we do that?
Let's do it. I am pulling up the four types just because I kind of forget stuff about it. And I remember what type I am, but I don't remember anything about it. So.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about what type I am as well, but I'll go through the four first. And so why this is useful is because you might be struggling to be like to fit into the mainstream of like the 7 to 5 time frame when it's like that's when you're supposed to be working and then you're supposed to go to bed at like 9, 10, 11 o'clock and get up at, you know, 5, 6, 7 o'clock. And that might not be what your body wants to do. So here's the four types. The first one is the most common. This is apparently half of the population, but he calls this the bears. So this is, by the way, if you want to look this up, it's Dr. Michael Bruce, B-R-E-U-S. All right, so bears.
What did you get first? I want to know.
So I'm a bear.
You're a bear? I'm a bear.
Yeah, so it's half the population.
Yeah, okay.
But I want to talk about, like, I didn't always display bear qualities, and I think I'm definitely a bear now, though. So we can talk about this. We can debate this in a bit. So bear cycles mimic the rise and fall of the sun. So sun up, sun down. So it's kind of easy for bears, and I feel like the societal, like, working and school norms were designed for bears. So bears sleep well and are most productive in mostly the middle of the morning. So, like, 9 to 12, And for the most part, they have steady energy and tend to work really well with others. So like, I think the world kind of revolves around bears, but the other types of sleepers are very specialized and also needed. But the typical person and the way society seems to be set up is for bears. What do you think?
Yeah, that all makes sense to me so far.
Okay. Next type is lions. And lions are your classic early bird. So this type of person can fly out of bed easily, experience most of their productivity by lunch, but then also tend to fizzle out and go to bed early. All right, let's keep moving. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. I heard, well, when you think about like going to bed early, I mean, in my head, my question is it still recommended the same time for each, like the same amount of sleep for each different chronotype, or is that different?
No, I don't think he gets into how much each one should sleep. It's just when you should be sleeping.
Okay.
Because, yeah, sleep is kind of dependent on where you are in life, age, injury, like immune system function, and also actually how efficiently you sleep.
Got it.
All right. Wolves are the next type. This is the more nocturnal type of person. They prefer a late start and experience more of their productive hours around the same time. Most other people prefer to be like winding down. So when like bears and lions are winding down, wolves are like ramping up. And he said like this type tends to also be more introverted and drawn to careers that foster creativity. So
this is totally my wife, Claire, by the way.
Claire's a wolf.
Yeah. And it's kind of annoying to me as a bear, maybe perhaps, because later on in the evening, she's making all these plans and like lists, and she's asking me about all kinds of stuff that I do not have the energy for. So it's, you know, I think I go to bed later than I would want because she's super awake. We've made a compromise.
Fine.
So like it's 11 o'clock, I'm in bed and she's, you know, doing what else, getting ready to go to bed or whatever. And she's asking me all these questions. She's like, so, you know, what's your schedule like the next 2 days? And what, you know, what time is this happening? And can you do this? Oh, because now her mind's active and now she's ready, but I am not ready. So that's my commentary.
I'm sure she is a wolf. I think you guys need to find like a middle ground there. Sounds like you're doing it. All right. The fourth type is the dolphin. Ooh. And this type tends to be more likely to suffer from insomnia. And they also seem to have a tendency towards type A personalities, perfectionism, but also higher intelligence. But their most productive hours are late morning and mid-afternoon, but they are not good at sleeping. So like their sleeping hours are just like, they're not good at it. And this is where the debate seems to lie. Like I definitely qualify as a bear now, but I can look at myself, you know, a good chunk of my life up to the age of like 25, 26 or something like that. And I was more likely a dolphin. So I don't know. I haven't read like all of his research, just kind of the vague or superficial stuff, but he says these are four like biological chronotypes. You'd think like more like genetically based, but I used to be a lot more type A and I used to struggle more with perfectionism. And I also used to suffer from insomnia, but I don't. Well, some would say like I still have some type A personalities and that's fair. I do, but I don't really like, it's not something that rules my life anymore. And
insomnia is just not an issue for me anymore. So I don't know where to go with that. And when I was taking the quiz too, like some of the questions, I'm like, well, that was true for most of my life, but it's not true anymore. So I'd answer it how it was now. And of course I came out a bear, but
I think that's how it was for me. Cause some of the questions aren't exactly like, what do you prefer? It's like, what are you doing now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Cause that, yeah. Because I mean, what does it mean if you have a natural inclination to do something and maybe you haven't done it really well, does that, I mean, what's that whole inclination about in the first place? I want to be an early riser. I think I would, honestly, if, you know.
Well, there is this idea of like the early bird gets the worm. And I think that's not fair to some people. And also think it's not true.
It's not.
Because we're not fighting for worms. Like, it's true for birds. You know?
Yeah.
But we're not all, like, fighting to find that bird that's just peeking out in the morning or something. I don't know how birds hunt.
Well, if really what the chronotype is it's like, okay, you're going to have, guaranteed, you're going to have, based on your biology, several hours that are probably the best sleep that you're going to have in the night. And those hours you should be asleep for. And then it's saying that you have, your energy is, you know, we're talking about circadian rhythm. It's about energy cycle. So then you are going to be most productive at certain time periods. Mm-hmm. So if you are testing to be, like, for instance, you're a wolf, but you're acting like a bear, that means some of the time frame that you should be doing work, you're not, because you're sleeping or something like that. Or, you know, vice versa. If you should be a bear, but you're staying up super late, then maybe you aren't doing your best work when you do in the middle of the morning or something like that, because maybe you're sleeping. Maybe you're not getting the best rest you can, because as a bear, you should be asleep a little earlier. Is that kind of what I'm picking up from some of this?
Yeah. And what Dr. Michael Bruce argues is, like, if you're a good employer and you've hired a wolf, like, you need to let him show up in the afternoon and, like, work to, like, the evening, instead of making them show up at like 8 in the morning and expect their best work to happen.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting. One of our listeners of the show, he's a loyal listener. He's actually written in some emails. His name's Ryan McCord. Shout out to him. He works for EA Games, the gaming company. And he actually works on Sims. So right now he's working, building out different things for The Sims. He's a software engineer. And it seems like they understand that, because most of their people that they're hiring are like wolves.
Yeah.
So they don't care when you show up to work. It's just all project based. So it's like, and you know, he says that he sets the time frame. He's like, okay, this is when I'll be done with this project. And then they're like, cool. And they don't manage his time, you know. So he can come in at 12 and he goes to sleep at like 2 in the morning or whatever. It's kind of interesting.
Very interesting.
But they respect that, you know. Obviously, if you are a teacher, but you're a wolf, then you are being, you know, square peg being forced into a circle. Oh, I don't know if I said that right. I don't remember that.
Maybe you're in the wrong profession if you're teaching like kindergarten and you're a wolf.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's worth looking up. I think it's worth figuring out where you are, and because then you can maximize your schedule to your strengths and your weaknesses.
Has the quiz made you want to change your schedule at all?
No, because my life's kind of suited to bears. You know, you just get up when the sun comes up and you get tired when the sun goes down. You're pretty stable energy.
Yeah. Well, sweet.
Yes. Yeah, it didn't help me much. But I think I was just curious about this idea of, like, I was definitely a dolphin. But not anymore. Not that I can tell. It's so nice. I don't mean to be insensitive to people listening, but I sleep really well, and it's such a gift because I didn't for a while. So,
yeah. And if you're listening for the first time and you want to hear some of Jake's sleeping stuff and what he's done to figure it out, we had a couple episodes on sleep hygiene. I think we called the episode sleep hygiene. I think we've had a couple sleep episodes altogether, but
it's important. When sleep gets better, everything gets a little easier. So
you can't heal without it, man.
Oh yeah. I want to talk about this. Nick, what do you think of when you hear the phrase healing hormones?
Mom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we got older and we were more, I would say, autonomous with our lives, Mom used the words healing hormones to kind of scare us into going to bed at a decent hour. Because she said, you'll miss out on healing hormones, which I think she pegged as like 10 to 2. If you miss that window, you're not healing or something like that.
Yeah. That is, it was always 10 to 2. It's like, Mom, I don't think I'm ever going to fall asleep at 10.
Dude, and all of your research, Nick, and you've done some of that in your life, all of your education, have you come across this healing hormone window?
No. No, me either. I don't know where she got that, but, you know, maybe she was on to something.
I don't know.
Maybe she was intuiting something.
She's done that in the past. Could be true. But yeah, I haven't come across healing hormone like a window. But it could be something. You know, it could have something to do with your chronotype when you're going to be most efficient at healing. Because like you do heal, you do a lot of your healing while you sleep, especially in your brain. So you do need to sleep. But I just don't know if like you're healing most from 10 to 2 or from 2 to 6 or from, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, okay, I want to speak a little bit about this for a second, because so I got a really bad head trauma in college playing rugby. And you know, everyone says the whole stuff like, don't fall asleep, don't fall asleep. And the reason they say that is because if you have a really bad brain bleed, then, you know, they want to be able to tell if you're having a really bad brain bleed. But I had the opposite problem, because this is what happens when you have brain trauma. Anything can happen is basically the rule. And I couldn't fall asleep for like a week at least. I think literally I had 5 days of no sleep, lay in bed all night, nothing. You just can't do anything. It is like that switch was just off in my brain. And for those 5 days, I noticed that just you stop recovering. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, you feel tired and sore and everything. You wake up and you do actually recover. You feel like, oh, energized, and I feel better. My body feels better. None of that. So you just like compounded 5 days of that. And you're like, oh my gosh, everything hurts. My body hurts. My brain hurts, whatever. And then it got really bad. We had free passes to Six Flags. This is in Dallas. And so we went. And that was the fourth or fifth night for me of no sleep. And I totally blacked out for a while. Actually, I came to when I was walking around the park by myself. And I was like, this is pretty bad. I don't know. This is not, you know, so, you know. So I went to our campus doctor and talked about it. Didn't really get that much help, but it ended up going away. Anyways, I was thinking about that, and recently I had this patient. She's this older woman. And she was having a similar issue. She couldn't fall asleep.
And she had a whole week where she didn't get more than 15 minutes, she said, of sleep. Of course, I'm not there. I'm not doing a sleep study on her or anything like that, but that's what she's reporting to me. So it's like, okay, that's what's going on. And so I did work on her, and that night she slept for 4 hours. Okay. So that's obviously, you know, straight, huge improvement. But when she woke up, she had all of these symptoms. She had nausea. She had stomach issues going on. She felt cold sinus symptoms. She had all these things. And, you know, she called me up. She travels from San Francisco to come down and see me, which means she can't come every day. And she, you know, she calls me up and all this is happening. I'm like, no, this is a good thing. Your body hasn't had any of the juice, any of the energy to do any healing. All of these things were there. Your body just couldn't react to them. But now she has the power to do it. She has some sleep and her body is doing what it's supposed to do. But sometimes it seems counterintuitive. But yeah, sleep is, that is literally what happens every night. If you don't value your sleep, you need to, because it is that important.
You heard it from Nick, everyone. You heard it first. Breakthrough. New information.
Just got super dark where you are. What?
It looks like a hurricane's coming through or something out the window. I could turn some lights on. But no. Yeah, it's only 4:30 and it's nighttime outside. So I'm a little concerned.
It's starting to be hurricane season.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's hurricane, obviously. I would have heard about it for 10 days because that's the hurricane protocol, is people talk about it for 10 days. They ride at the grocery stores and then a storm comes.
So you would have known, at least from the grocery store, you would have known that it was a hurricane.
Oh, yeah. No one's panicking. I went to the grocery store yesterday, and there was plenty of water on the shelves, so there's no hurricane coming. But it wasn't for people I wouldn't know. I don't watch the news or read the news. So, I've heard about the last hurricane from patients that were like, what are you doing for the hurricane? I was like, hurricane's coming. So... yeah, but it does look bleak outside. And also, I think that's a pod. I think it's time to wrap.
Sounds good to me. Cool. Well, blessings to you all, and have a great week. Thanks for listening. We love you guys.
Yep, love you all. So grateful. Reach out to me personally at drjakehyde.com. And Nick at Inside Out Health.
Get
Nick.
Get Hyde Inside Out Health.
GetInsideHealth.com. And love to hear from you. You can also email the pod directly at thecultivatedbeing@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Let Nick know how wrong he was about his theories on space and supernovas.
Yeah.
Please do. We love being corrected.
All right. Well, peace out, everybody.
Love you guys. Bye.
Bye.